Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Hey, Scarecasters. It's been a while since we've had a multi-story episode. This episode was supposed to come out on Halloween, but unfortunately, as you all are used to, life happened. But I'm glad to kick off Season 9, Episode 1, with the episode format that you all had grown to love over the years. Prepare yourselves, listeners, for I've conjured up 8 bone-chilling tales from the depths of darkness. Some are quick frights that'll make you jump, while others, well, they'll linger your mind long after the candles have burnt out. So lock your doors, check under your bed, and keep the lights on if you dare. Because for Season 9, Episode 1 of the Scarecast, we're going to give you the creeps like never before. Someone impersonated my sister and invited me to the shadiest part of Los Angeles. A true story by Alba_Michelle23. Last year, I started law school in Los Angeles. I've never lived in a big city before, and I was really excited to be in a massive city with over 4 million people. And ever since I was little, I always knew I had a half-sister in LA, but my parents had this weird anger toward her that always made it feel like a taboo topic. And of course, I had looked her up on social media, and I knew what she looked like, but that was about all. We had never actually met. She was never that active on social media, so there wasn't a lot I could see. And out of nowhere, one day in my first year of law school, I got a friend request on Facebook for my sister. Her profile seemed legitimate. She had Facebook friends, and her profile picture looked like her. She had sent me a message inviting me to a little dinner party at the park with her friends. We could finally meet each other for the first time. I was new to LA, still am, and I had no idea which parts of the city to avoid at night. I was so excited about that idea, but I had a lot of anxiety about it too. It would be nice if we met, totally clicked, and became besties for life. But what if we ended up sobbing like we were in some dramatic movie scene? What if I tried to talk to her and she just didn't click with me? And she started showing me an attitude? Or worse, what if it's all going well until we have some kind of disagreement? Someone said something hurtful, and then we were both crying in front of everyone. Honestly, if she had suggested a cozy little bakery for desserts instead, I would have gone. But going to a park with other people didn't feel right. I thought it was like such a precious moment that I didn't want to have in front of all these other people. I couldn't bring myself to go. I didn't want to risk having a meltdown in front of other people. And I was worried about how messy it could get. few weeks later, I googled that park just to see what it was like. Maybe we could meet up there together, just one-on-one. But that's when I learned something was wrong. Now, I won't say the name of this park, but anyone who has lived in LA for a long time will tell you that it's not a safe place for girls to be having a dinner party at night. The area surrounding that park has very high violent crime rates. It's controlled by gangs. Even people who do illegal business in that park are forced to pay a tax to the gang in exchange for being left alone. So now I was really concerned and curious. I actually tried to get a hold of my sister myself. She was an undergrad at the time, at a local college. I had a friend who had went to her school, and I asked my friend to reach out to her on campus and ask her if she'd be okay with meeting us. They connected and the three of us met at my friend's house, and it was great. We got along so well. My friend was also very happy to do that for us. The three of us had so much fun. We weren't bursting in tears, but we definitely let out a few. We had dinner, we watched a movie, and we spent the night at my friend's house. When I told my sister about that whole thing, she said that she hadn't used Facebook since high school. So clearly, someone was impersonating her. I would have told her to report the fake account, but it had already been deleted. And she knew she had somebody impersonating her because one of her friends had been scanned by someone pretending to be her. It was some scheme involving fake concert tickets or something like that. So there we have it. Someone had been impersonating my sister. They somehow knew I was in town, and they literally tried to lure me into one of the most dangerous parts of LA at night. I have no idea what their motives were, and I don't know if I ever want to find out. Meeting my sister after all these years was such a beautiful thing, but the whole backdrop was terrifying. This chilling story highlights the potential dangers of social media and the importance of personal safety in unfamiliar environments. The narrator's experience of nearly being lured to a dangerous area of Los Angeles by someone impersonating her half-sister serves as a stark reminder of the vulnerabilities we face in our increasingly connected world. It underscores the critical need to verify information, especially when dealing with long-lost relatives or acquaintances, and the value of trusting one's instincts when something feels off. The narrator's initial hesitation and subsequent decision to reach out to her sister through a mutual friend likely saved her from a potentially dangerous situation. And our next story will focus on a young person's unsettling experience that will make you think twice about being home alone. From mysterious deliveries to unexplained camera outages, this tale of suspense culminates in a late-night encounter that will have you double-checking your locks tonight. Creeper beats on my door and turns Ring camera off. An experience by I Like Metal Music. So this happened a few years ago, but it stuck with me because of how weird and scary it was. So every year for the past few years, my parents have been going on a week-long anniversary trip, leaving me home alone. I was 20, so it was more than an appropriate age. And this time around, some weird stuff happened the first day when they were gone. And then this happened the night before they were supposed to come home. Now, the first day they were gone, a guy came to the door to drop something off in the morning. But I didn't want to answer it as it was a stranger, and I thought he'd just leave it at the door like usual. But this guy stayed around for 5 minutes, and then got in his car and started to drive off. To which I went outside because I thought he finally left it. But this man got out of his car, leaving it in the middle of the road, just to give me my package that I didn't have to sign for at all. No signature needed or anything. And he wasn't even dressed like a delivery person. He was in a beat up car and, I don't know, the whole experience was just weird and uncomfortable. Now, skipping to the end of the week, I was just chilling out in my living room and all of a sudden at 11 o'clock at night, I see this rather large figure approach my front door. The glass is dimpled so you can't see the features exactly, but just a silhouette. And the man, he would start banging on my door. And he did so for like a minute straight. He just stands there and doesn't leave for probably 10 minutes. And in that time beats on the door a few times over. Luckily, my sister and her family live not even a mile away from me. So I call them and her husband comes to get me. By this time, I'm in full panic mode. And I realize that my dogs are in the backyard. My back door is 90% glass and I was horrified that this person was going to try to come through the back gate and try to come into my house as my dogs were barking up a storm. Anyways, I get my dogs inside the house and my brother-in-law finally shows up and whoever was there was gone. He takes me to my sister's house and we check the front door cameras to see who was there. And the cameras had been turned off the whole time this person was there. And for an hour before he started banging on the door, they were also off. The cameras were on before that time period, and during the time we were looking at the cameras. But they were somehow shut off for about an hour and a half, which was odd because they're not the type that needs to be charged. And they had never glitched before. But were actually very sensitive. To this day, I don't know who it was that showed up to the house. I checked the local news and everything, but nothing ever came of it. I don't know if they were trying to rob my house, or if they had other plans, or if it was potentially the delivery guy from earlier that week. But it still freaks me out to think about it, and I hate being home alone at night because of it. Most modern doorbell cameras rely on wireless connections, which can be susceptible to signal jamming using relatively simple devices. This vulnerability highlights a potential weakness in home security systems that many homeowners might not be aware of. Hardwired cameras, which are less common due to their more complex installation process, offers better protection against such interference. However, they're not as widely adopted as their wireless counterparts. And this information adds a new layer of concern to the original story, suggesting that the intruder might have deliberately jammed the Wi-Fi signal to disable the cameras. And our next story will focus on a late-night pizza run that took an unexpected turn into the realm of urban legends. When a skeptical driver encounters the fabled man in the woods, they'll learn that sometimes local myths have a grain of truth. and also an appetite for Italian cuisine. This tale of a naked, mud-covered stranger emerging from the shadows will make you think twice about your next midnight snack run. Who knew that a pizza theft could be added to the list of things that go bump in the night? Creepy naked guy stole my pizza. An experience by Rich Gessie. This happened a few hours ago, and I'm not scared anymore. I'm just angry my pizza got stolen. In my town, there's a story about a guy that moved into the deep woods close to our town. I never believed it, as I go for night drives occasionally and never saw him or anything resembling a man that lives in the woods. Anyway, tonight I decided to go for a drive and drove past a pizza place. Being hungry, I decided to get a pizza before I went home. In my head, I had a plan to eat pizza and play some Minecraft, as I'm in my 2-week Minecraft phase at the moment. Now I paid for my pizza and I started walking to my car with the pizza in one hand and my phone in the other, messaging my friend if he wants to play some Minecraft when I got home. I look up from my phone to cross the road to where my car was parked, and I see something under my car. Looks like a shadow or something dark. I put my phone in my pocket and I pull out my keys. I unlock the car to scare off anything close to the car. I was thinking it was just a cat or dog just hanging around my car. But when I unlocked the car, nothing happens. No cat running away, and no dog running away. The shadow looked like it was cast from the driver's side, so I was going to have to look at whatever it was, whether I wanted to or not, to get in. I put my keys away and pull out my phone again and turn the flashlight on to see better in the dark. And as I turn towards the driver's side of my car, I see him. A dirty, naked guy with big eyes staring right at me. He was crouched down trying to hide from me. Now, I don't usually get scared of anything, but this guy scared me. He looked like he rolled around in mud and it dried out on his skin. His eyes looked creepy, bloodshot, and kind of bulging out of his head. And he was naked. I get startled and I jump backwards out of instinct, dropping my pizza in the process. It falls out of its box and onto the concrete. And I start moving back slowly and shout at him to get away from my car. Now he looks at me and then at the pizza and then back at me again. And he tilts his head to one side, and then he jumps towards the pizza like a dog, grabs it, and starts running away down the road. And I assume he ran all the way into the woods. I wouldn't know where he really went, as I didn't feel like following him. I locked my car and run back to the pizza place and stay there for a bit. The workers obviously didn't believe me when I told them what happened, but I know what I saw. And once the fear subsides after a while, I realized that this guy had just stole my pizza. Angry as I was looking forward to it, I decided to get another one and run to my car this time. I get in, put the pizza on the passenger seat, and go home. Once I got home, I locked all my doors and windows. I even locked my bedroom door as I felt a little scared still. So I think I'll be playing Minecraft until the sun comes up. Creepy, dirty, naked guy that lives in the woods close to my town, I never want to see you again, because I may have to fight you for stealing my pizza.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Woke up to something screaming at me to get out. An experience by Ghost on Fire. My wife and I have been living in our apartment for about 6 months, and strange things started to occur about a month ago. My dog is always staring at things around the house, growling at something that doesn't seem to be there. A few weeks ago, my wife was lying in bed and felt a motherly touch push her hair back, like a real human touch. She was completely alone in the bedroom with all windows and doors shut. There was no wind or anything. And then recently, it happened again. And she came out of the room feeling creeped out. And the most frightening thing happened just recently. In the middle of the night, while we were sleeping, our dog barked like crazy at the dark hallway and ran into it. We sprinted after him, checked the whole house, and found nothing. And we played it off as a bad dream of his, and then we all went back to sleep. And that's when I had a nightmare. I woke up in a sleep paralysis episode, with my dog staring right at me. His mouth was moving, and a man's voice was screaming at me to get out, get out, get out, getting faster and louder. My wife then had to wake me up as I was whimpering and couldn't move. Now, I'm not a big believer in the paranormal, but this is becoming terrifying. My wife and I are just looking for explanations. She thinks someone nearby in our apartment complex might be doing rituals or something. We found this white goo a couple of feet outside our door that didn't go away, like candle wax. Any help or explanation would be appreciated. Thank you. Here's another part of this story that was actually posted by the wife of the original poster. So everything stated in this story is true. I awoke to my husband whimpering like he was crying. And it took me nearly a minute to wake him up. And I was panicking. I thought he was messing with me when he told me his nightmare. Because our dog had woken us both up a couple of hours prior by barking and growling at our hallway. Now he's done this before in different areas of our place. I have videos. And as for the touching of my hair, both times it felt extremely gentle and maternal, and it felt like fingers running through my strands for just a moment. Now it's worth noting that the last time it happened, I was laying in bed crying and having a horrible night. It scared me, but it took me out of that funk I was in. And both times it only happened when OP wasn't in the room. It doesn't feel threatening to me, but at the same time, I do not fuck with anything involving the paranormal, as I believe in it 100%. I know demons are real, and some of them can and will hurt you. I grew up in an extremely religious household. This is why I believe if what we have going on is paranormal, that it is occurring because of someone near us doing rituals or some kind of spiritualistic practices. We haven't brought in any new strange or antique objects, and I know demons will attach themselves to objects because when I was a kid, I had found a little antique moon-shaped perfume bottle in an abandoned house that I adored, and I brought it with me everywhere that my parents made me get rid of because weird stuff they won't tell me about started happening after I brought it home. Only weird thing I remember about it was that it was completely empty. Only reason my mom let me keep it as she didn't want me to have perfume I could spill. And one night I looked over at it, and it had a wet spot underneath it that I couldn't explain. And that's when they threw it away. While I believe I'm still a very logical thinker, I just can't explain the hair touching. I shot up and would look for a bug, but there would be nothing there. And our next story will focus on a family who discovered that their new home came with an unexpected housemate, the spirit of its former owner. And this tale of a friendly haunting will explore how the living and the deceased can coexist in harmony, sharing space and mutual respect. The man who lived in the house before us is still there. An experience by Rojo Princesa. We have a resident ghost. We know exactly who he is and we don't mind. Here's how we know. R died in the hospital about 6 months before we bought the house. We know members of his family now, and all of the neighbors tell us about how good of a man he was. He was an older man who loved his kids and grandkids. And about 8 months after we moved in, he made himself known to me. I would hear heavy boots walking down the hall or pacing our spare bedroom, which used to be his hobby room, while I was alone at home. We started to see strange ghost orbs and misses appear on our doorbell cams, opening the screen door as if coming inside. Several times I would be having a nightmare and then get woken up by something slamming a door in the house. It wasn't malicious. I think it was just trying to wake me up from the nightmare. I cleansed the house twice, but told him that if he represented light and love, that he could stay. But any other malice needed to leave the home. Some darker things, like the spirit causing my nightmares, had left, but R had stayed. And one night, I had my nephews over and they were playing together outside in the yard. And when I went to check on them, the older of the two told me that there was an old man watching them by the tree. He had pointed to the big tree near my back door and no one was there. "Was he being mean?" I asked. He replied, "No, he said he was just checking on us." And I truly do believe that. We made an agreement with R that if he left us and our loved ones be, then we would leave him be. And he seemed content with that. He never bothers us or makes us feel afraid. We don't interact all that much, though I can feel him at times hanging out in the living room with us or observing us when we have company over. Occasionally, he'll stomp around loudly, usually if we are renovating something. But I would calmly explain what we are doing for the health of the home and that we respect all that he's done in the home before we purchased it. And it always seems to calm him. You don't have to believe me, but it's all true. We aren't scared in our home. I would kick him out if we thought it was malicious. We just truly believe that he was a charming old man who loved this home. You were young, and I was old. An experience by Nora. I was hanging out with my friend and her 4-year-old son at a park in our hometown, and he was taking it all in. At one point while we were at the park, he asked to see the goats. Now there's a small petting zoo at this park, but it was definitely out of sight at the time, and we hadn't passed it on the way in. My friend had never taken him there before, and I don't recall either of us telling him about the petting zoo. We took him to see the animals, and my friend asked how he knew about the zoo, and he said,
"I came here with you. You were young and I was old."
My friend's grandfather had taken her there all the time when she was growing up. The stranger thing is that most of my friend's family felt like her son was the reincarnation of the grandfather. He had passed many years ago, and this really shook my friend to her core. I'm not one to really believe in reincarnation, but I can't find a logical reason that would prompt a 4-year-old to make a comment like that. The question of reincarnation is a complex and intriguing one that has fascinated humans for millennia. While scientific evidence for reincarnation remains elusive, many cultures and religions around the world embrace the concept. The boy's inexplicable knowledge and statement raise thought-provoking questions about the nature of consciousness and the possibility of past life memories. Do you believe in reincarnation? And our next story will take us to the quiet countryside, where a child's peaceful bedtime routine takes a chilling turn. My dad crawled out from under my bed, an experience by Suspicious Orange 71. I was around 6 when it happened. My parents had tucked me into bed, and I live in a rural countryside, so nighttime is very quiet. No sounds of cars, and it's usually very peaceful. I was laying on my back when I suddenly heard the sound of long nails scratching the wood under my bed. The reason this incident sticks out to me is because I can still remember the feeling of my heart dropping out of my stomach and feeling paralyzed with fear. I was about to call out for my parents when my dad crawled out from under my bed and stood up in the dark looking at me. He said, "You forgot to say your prayers," and then walked out of my room. I was understandably shocked. I did not leave my bed afterwards and must have fallen asleep at some point. My dad would normally tell me to say my prayers before bed, so this seemed like something he would say. But I have no idea what would possess him to hide under my bed. My dad denies ever doing this, and I brought it up numerous times over the years, but he has never admitted to doing it. I never really considered until recently that he definitely doesn't have nails long enough to make deep scratching sounds like I heard. What do you guys think? Maybe I fell asleep and had a vivid dream. I also considered it could be something paranormal. To answer a few questions I saw recently on the Reddit post that I posted this story on, no, I can't remember if I asked my parents about the incident the next morning. But since then, I have asked repeatedly over the last 20-ish years, and my dad has never owned up to it. I believe at this point that my dad couldn't have done it because, one, my dad likes scary stuff and would absolutely take credit for a prank that scared me this bad. Two, my parents had been gone from my room for about 10 minutes before I heard the scratching. It's possible my dad could have stayed behind, but he could not easily fit under my bed without me noticing. Three, he's not really a drinker, so I doubt he had passed out on the floor. At this point, I like to believe that it was sleep paralysis, like many people theorized. However, that would be my one and only time experiencing sleep paralysis. There's definitely a chance it could have been something more sinister, and something I hope to never encounter again. And for our final story of the night, we'll explore a skeptic's unexpected encounter with the unexplained. When a non-believer in the paranormal comes face to face with a spectral child in her own bedroom, we'll see how quickly long-held beliefs can be shaken. What did I see? An experience by Expression Elegant 119. I've never believed in ghosts. I used to make fun of my husband because he believed in ghosts. About a year ago, I woke up because my husband was getting ready for work. The room was dark, but we slept with the TV on, so there was some light. My husband was standing in front of the TV getting dressed, so I sat up to talk to him. We have a younger son, and it looked like he was standing right next to my husband. I said, "What is Jackson doing up so early?" My husband looked at me funny and said, "What are you talking about?" I thought my husband was going crazy because I saw a little boy standing right next to my husband. I said, "Honey, he's standing right next to you." My husband looked on both sides and said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "He's standing next to you on your right. How could you not see him?" My husband was really confused, and I started to get annoyed because I thought he was joking around with me. But slowly, The little boy faded into the wall behind him. I've tried to debunk this in every way possible. It wasn't sleep paralysis, and it wasn't a dream because my husband remembers the conversation. And I wasn't on drugs, and I don't have hallucinations. I haven't seen the little boy since that morning. What did I experience? As the shadows lengthen and the veil between worlds grows thin, we've reached the end of this episode. From a residential ghost to a naked man stealing a pizza, we've explored the depths of the unexplained and the edges of our understanding. These tales remind us that sometimes the most chilling stories are the ones that challenge our beliefs and leaves us questioning what we thought we knew. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me on this spine-tingling journey. Your support means the world to me. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, I'd be thrilled if you could take a moment to leave a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps other listeners discover the show and keeps the scares coming. For more spooky content, be sure to follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at The Scarecast. There you'll find extra tidbits, visual scares and reels, and maybe even a few surprises that didn't make it into the podcast. Remember, whether you're a skeptic or a true believer, there's always room for a good scare. As always, be safe out there, and until next time.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.